In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, one of those days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 men, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called a Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. What we're attempting to do is to take a short look at these disciples, because they are really important in every aspect of our lives today, whether we realize it or not. Out of this large group of followers, after Jesus prayed to God all night, he came down and he picked 12 of them that he called apostles. And those 12 are really important in everything we do and everything we think today, because they're the foundation of our beliefs. So it would be really good to know as much as we could about these guys. They changed the course of history. They changed how we think. They changed everything about worship, about praise, about everything. They changed it. And history will be built on them. In Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The church exists today because of these men. Our future and what history will write about us is built on these guys. It is really important that we get to know them. And today we're going to look at one of the apostles, Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. He was in the inner circle. And it seems in every time one of the disciples are listed in the Bible, he's always in the front four. He's always in the inner circle that Jesus hung out with the most. And we're going to look at him today. He seems like his identity was Peter's brother. Every time he's mentioned in the scriptures, he says Peter's brother or the brother of Peter. So he was really important, but he was in that inner circle. Andrew was a background person. Peter was in the foreground. Peter was the one that was always opening his mouth and saying this or saying that and sticking his foot in his mouth a lot, but Andrew was in the background. And another thought on these lists of names. The first four, the inner circle, was Peter, was Simon, which he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, and John. The second set of names was Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas. The other circle, the outer circle, needed more identification. It seems like these guys that were really close to Jesus, you just knew them by their name. But the ones that were a little bit further away needed more identification. The last set, the outer circle of the 12, was James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, which became a traitor. It seems like the further you get away from Jesus, the more identification you need to know who you are. And that's the reason I started this message out this morning by saying, "Hi, I'm Doug." That's what I want to be known by. I don't want to have to put any other thing with me. I want to be known that I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm done. And, you know, I just threw that in. Hadn't got anything to do with Andrew. I just thought I'd add that to it so you could pick up something from that. How do you want to be known? All the disciples except for Judas came from Galilee, Capernaum area, and they were in business there. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were all fishermen. They had a fisherman business. They had their own boats and all. They were big-time fishermen. And one thing we learned about Andrew is that not only was he in business with them, but he also knew John the Baptist. He was a follower. He traveled a long way to hear John the Baptist preach. And you think about that in those days and in that time. It would be like us here in Lafayette walking to Atlanta to hear a preacher. it's not going to be a 30-minute trip. It took a lot of time and it took a lot of effort, but he went to hear John the Baptist preach. Another thing we see about Andrew is he was there when John baptized Jesus, and he spent some time there. He saw Jesus being baptized by John. He heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God." That got him, he was hunting the Messiah, and he was looking for the Messiah, as were all the Jews and religious people in that time. They knew the exact year that the Messiah was to appear. And they were looking for him. And Andrew and the other 12 were just the same. They were in that religion. They were looking for Jesus to come upon the scene, the Messiah. The thing is, they were looking for a military, strong Messiah to come back and wipe out all their enemies and set them up to rule the world. But it didn't happen. Jesus come back saying, "Love God and love people." And they rejected him on account of that. And, you know, I've thought a lot and talked to a lot of preachers in this area and people in this area and in certain denominations. They're sitting there today waiting on Jesus to come back and put an end to all this bad stuff and set them up to rule the world. It didn't happen then, and it's not going to happen that way today. We're not put here on earth to sit and wait on anything. We're up here on put on the earth to take charge, make his enemies our footstool. And I know I'm getting the note. You can't follow along on the notes because I'm jumping around. And that's me. I can't help it. Andrew, as soon as he had confidence in his heart that Jesus was the Messiah, he did the first thing he did was to go back home, find his brother Simon, and tell him about it. Because in John 1:41-42, it says, "The first thing Andrew did, find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ,' and brought him to Jesus." This was several months before they started following Jesus. The first thing he did was go tell his brother and bring Peter to Jesus. And then months later, Jesus came to Capernaum. And when he came to Capernaum, I feel like he came there for Simon and Andrew and James and John. He came there, and it, like I said, this was several months later. And most of the people today say that they didn't start following Jesus immediately because they weren't confident in who he was. They wasn't sure of themselves. They wasn't sure of their faith. But I don't see it that way. They didn't follow him immediately because they had obligations at home. They had families. They had house payments to make and car payments to make and cell phone payments to make. They had all these obligations at home that they had to take care of. I know it was different back then. They didn't have all that stuff, but still, they had obligations. They had families to feed, and they had things to take care of. They had a business to run. And they went back home and prepared for the day that they would be able to go full-time with Jesus. And then Jesus was still on the road doing his thing, and he was building a ministry that would be able to support those guys when he took them on the road with him. I feel like that's why they did it, not that they weren't confident. Because if you walk 100 miles to see someone, and then you go 100 miles back and get your brother, and you bring him 100 miles back on foot to see the Messiah, you're pretty confident that you know who he is. And they were pretty confident of it, but they did that. And like Andrew was the first evangelist, and like all evangelists should, he started at home. He started with his brother. And when anyone gets saved, that's what they should start with. They should start at their house. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world." You always start at home. What's that telling us? When someone gets saved, when we get saved, our house should be the first place we start. And then our family, our friends, our city, our county, and then to the whole world. Start at home. Be a Christian at home. Show your faith at home, and then move away. Then there was another situation happened that Andrew was involved in. They were having a camp meeting. They were out on a hillside in a pasture, and there were thousands of men there. And then it came time, they'd been there for a while, and then all of a sudden somebody got hungry. And Jesus turned to Philip and said, what are we going to feed these? And Philip didn't have a clue. Because Philip was looking at the massive crowd. He was looking at the thousands upon the hill. And then he said something to Andrew's, another disciple, Andrew, Simon's brother. Again, Simon, Andrew's used in the scripture, and it's Simon's brother. Spoke up, here is a boy with the barley loaves and two fishes, and how far will that go with so many? He knew that was not enough on his own to feed so many people. But while all the disciples were looking at the massive crowd, Andrew was out mingling with the massive crowd in the midst of it. He was a people person. He wanted to get out and talk to them, and he had already built a relationship with the family where that he could take that family's son and the food they had and take him to Jesus. Andrew loved bringing people to Jesus. And he brought somebody that he knew had something that Jesus could use. And at that time, he brought Jesus the exact thing he needed for that situation. And you all know the story. Jesus blessed the five fishes, and they fed the multitudes. And they were more than 5,000 there, because that was 5,000 men. If you got 5,000 men, you got to have 5,000 women there to take care of them. And you got kids that go along with it and all that. But he fed them, and guess what? They had leftovers. That's something to do with five biscuits and two fish. But God can do anything. So I don't care what situation you're in now and what situation you're looking for. Don't get stressed out about it. Give it to God. He'll take care of it. He can do things that we can't even imagine. Another situation happened a little later on. Some Greeks came to Philip and said, we want to see Jesus. And Philip, he didn't know exactly what to do. In John 12, 21 and 22, they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, went to Jesus. Philip didn't take them. I don't know why Philip didn't take them to Jesus, but he wasn't confident because these were Greek. They weren't from that area. They weren't Jews, but they wanted to see Jesus. And Philip wasn't comfortable with that. He didn't want to bother Jesus with this, and he didn't know what to do. And he could have even had some prejudice in him that he didn't want to deal with that. But Andrew was different. Andrew had no prejudice. Andrew, if somebody wanted to see Jesus, Andrew was confident to take him to Jesus. And he knew, because he knew, Jesus would want to see him. Anybody desiring to come to Jesus, Jesus wants. He desires all saved and none be lost. That frog is not going to die. Another interesting thing is about Andrew. In Mark chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately. And that's the first time that Andrew didn't have Simon's brother by him when he was used in the scripture. Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? Jesus had just confronted the religious people in that area, in the temple. He had just confronted the Pharisees and Sadducees and told them, said, this temple's going to be destroyed, your whole religious system's going to be destroyed, this nation's going to be scattered. And after that was over, when they were privately, they asked him, said, when's this going to happen? because he had told them it's going to happen on this generation. The great tribulation is about to happen, and it's going to happen within the 40-year span of the time I said it, and it's going to happen. So when Andrew was in the inner circle that asked him this question, when's this going to happen? And after seeing Andrew's heart from looking at the other scriptures and what we said about him, Andrew wasn't worried about Andrew. Andrew was worried, how much time have I got left to bring people to Jesus? How many can I bring in? I don't know whether y'all have seen the movie Schindler's List or not, but it's about a guy that saved thousands of Jews from the Germans during World War II. And one line in that movie, and I couldn't find the movie to get it exactly quoted the way it was in the movie, but at the very end of the movie, after the war is over, Germany is put down, they freed all the prisoners, he's getting in his car, and I don't remember whether it was his watch or his coat or his car. He said, if I could have sold this, maybe I could have saved one more. All the good he did and what was on his heart was, what about one more? Is that not the way we all should feel? If those people, and you look at the eschatology today, and it's something that I quit watching so many TV preachers because I get mad. And I don't like to get mad. If they really believe that what they teach of the any minute rapture and the great tribulation is about to happen and all the signs of the end times, then where's Andrews at? They're not trying to save people. They're selling books. Conversation I had a few years ago with one of my supervisors. Talked about a TV preacher, and he said, oh, yeah, he's good. He can really quote them scriptures. I said, I can too. If I got a teleprompter sitting in front of me, I can quote them word for word. And I said, answer this question for me. At the beginning of his show, this is not in your notes, by the way. At the beginning of the show, he's going to sell you a book about the temple has to be completely restored before Jesus can come back. And that sounds good. At the end of the show, he's going to sell you a book about the intermediate rapture. Now, which book are you going to buy? Because they contrast each other. There ain't no way you could have an intermediate rapture with a temple completely restored, because they ain't even started on the temple. And another, this is my thought, and this is what I've preached for years. They could build that temple back to the breadcrumb on the altar of the way it was then. But it won't be the same, because they're not going to get Jesus out of here behind the veil. So the temple could never be rebuilt and be the same. Jesus is here to stay. He's in you to stay. He's not going back behind the veil in any temple or any building anywhere. That's my God. Now, that's not in the notes either. I got to catch find out where I exactly where I was at. Okay. What have we learned about Andrew today? We've learned that he actually knew John the Baptist. We learned that he was Andrew's brother, Simon's brother. He was in the background. Background people are important. And he was in the inner circle. He was with Peter, James, and John most of the time. But there's a few times he wasn't. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying the night before he was taken, it was Peter, James, and John. At the Transfiguration, where Jesus talked to a couple of the Old Testament guys up in the air, rose up, talked to them. He wasn't there. But that doesn't mean he wasn't in the inner circle. It means that he was in the background doing things. Background person will be the one that goes ahead and sets things up, takes care of all the details, gets the people to the meeting. A background person, you can be in the inner circle, close to Jesus, and have a good relationship with him without ever having your name up on the marquee or being the center of attention. Background persons are really important. Jesus himself needed a background person needed an Andrew. Peter needed an Andrew. Every leader of any church or organization needs a background person. The background person is what makes the leader look good. We need a nation full of background people. They are the ones that will touch people's lives and bring people to Jesus. Andrew had no problem bringing people. He brought Simon. He knew Simon really well. He was his brother. He knew Simon would take over and be the leader, and that he would be the guy that met, the disciple that met Jesus first would be in the background because Simon would take over. But that didn't stop him. He wanted Simon to meet Jesus, so he brought him to it. Everybody knows somebody that Jesus can use and that has some talent that Jesus can take as he did the fishes and the bread and multiply it and make it work. Bring everybody you can to Jesus. Andrew would bring a little child with fishes or he would bring some Greeks. He didn't care. He wanted to bring people to Jesus. That should be what is on all of our hearts. And we should never even think about not being a witness for Jesus. Andrew was the type of guy that is needed everywhere, in every church. And I will tell you something, that if we had an Andrew character on each row right here, at the end of the year, there would be no empty chairs. There would be no chairs stacked in the corner. It would be packed. All of us should have Andrew characteristics in us that we are willing to let loose. Andrew died on a cross. This is how important it was for him to minister to people. He had been ministering to a governor's wife in the Roman city, or in the Roman rule. And this wife got saved and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. This infuriated her husband. He tried to get her to change and go back and turn against Jesus, but she wouldn't. And this made him so mad that he crucified Andrew. He crucified him on the X-shaped cross. And that's why today that X-shaped cross is known as the St. Andrew's cross. And while he was hanging on that, as people come by, he would tell them about Jesus, and he used up until his last breath trying to bring people to Jesus. And that's what we all should do. We need one on every row in this sanctuary. And just think about it. Is that someone sitting there? You? Let's pray.